Bow, 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 bow. Well, I'm getting a little better with the fade out and the fade in.
Okay, we'll see.
I'm a little frazzled this morning.
I know.
Everybody has to excuse me.
You're having a very bad morning.
I'm having a very bad morning.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if this is fate. I don't know. I don't know if this is fate. I'm not sure exactly what this is, but less than a week ago, I dropped my phone and shattered the screen, even though I had a screen protector on it.
Oh.
Okay. I was thankful that I got it fixed for $100, which is not bad nowadays.
Right.
If it's an iPhone, if you had an iPhone, they got it's ungodly money that you have to pay to replace
right.
the screen. The Sprint store replaced my LG V20 screen for $100. I was
nice.
Relieved, and it got done within three. I had to go to Saugus. They did it in an hour and a half, and I was up and running. Not terrible. Within a week's time, I dropped my phone overboard.
That's a tough week.
I am the person that criticizes people that drop their phones, that is clumsy with phones. I mercilessly rail on my children and people in my life that are careless with their phones and end up with broken screens.
So what goes wrong comes around.
But I feel like I am generally cautious, and like there something is going on, and I feel like I shouldn't even get in my car right now.
There's an imbalance somewhere.
There's an imbalance in the force.
And it's trying to right itself.
I gotta do something. Okay, long story short, I had one of my old cell phones in my drawer at the dock, and I got on Sprint Care online, and they got it activated within 45 minutes or so. So I am up and running with the phone, with an old phone that the speaker, I have to put it on speakerphone to converse, but I can take business calls, and that is the main thing.
Wow,
yeah,
okay, good.
I can't be without...
Back in business.
My whole business revolves around...
Cell phone.
Yeah,
Cell phone. I mean, how do you do business without it, right?
Being in contact, yeah.
Insane. We have Tim Sanborn here with a lot, like some very, very, very timely news. We're going to get to that. We have Jim and Pat Dalpia is with us as well.
Good morning, Gloucester is right.
Yeah. Nice sunny morning. Cold.
Sunny, cold. Thank you for the sandpiper quiche.
You are welcome.
They failed us.
They did. They didn't have the double baked croissants.
Right, that we talked about. We plugged them for free last week.
Yeah.
And plugging them again.
And we're plugging them again, even though they failed us.
With one exception.
Yes.
I said, Joey needs a quiche this morning, I said.
Did you know about my cell phone fail?
I saw it on Facebook. I like to get myself up on the news before we come to do a podcast, because I want to be right on top of things.
All right. Speaking of timely, we're all about, so people this past month got their electric bills.
Yep.
And people got demolished, like crazy bumps up. Their bills were astronomical.
Yeah.
Tim's going to speak to why this month did people get to, mine wasn't. I have a I still have a $600 credit on mine because I went with Kazalt Solar and the panels are doing what Tim they're exceeding what Tim said that they would do.
Thank you.
So many people could not wrap their minds around why the people that don't have solar, why their electric bills took such astronomical jumps. Tim is going to go over a regular electric bill and explain what happened there.
Yeah, a couple things happened. Traditionally, first of all, we all know we have an electricity crisis in the state of Massachusetts, so we should. So we don't have a source of, we're not like Ohio and Pennsylvania where they have a source of natural gas, which is another topic because it's very controversial harvesting the natural gas to fracking, causing tremors and stuff. But we're trying to redo, Massachusetts has this crisis, they can't keep up with the need for electricity. That's also focusing on the renewable energy part of it. where we have a Energy Portfolio Act that says 20% of our electricity should come from renewable energy. So we've got that happening right now, the energy crisis, trying to find sources of electricity. And they're talking about rebuilding the pipeline for natural gas. And this was the controversy even way back to the LNG stations off of Cape Ann. So that's going on in the background. Traditionally also we have this issue in the wintertime because we have peaks of uses of electricity in the state of Massachusetts in the summer months for residentially for electricity and commercially for electricity for air conditioning.
Right.
And then in the wintertime we have the same reverse of that for heating. So traditionally what happens is the rate goes up.
Can I just stop you for 1 second?
Yep.
Because I think there's one part that so people can understand the way I understand it. You correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
There's only so much electricity that gets. There's been a big push to shut down power plants.
Correct.
So the electricity. So people don't want power plant. You know, the NIMBYs don't want
right.
it in their backyard.
Right.
Whatever. At the same time, so National Grid has to go out and buy on the open market. Everybody is bidding in the Northeast for the same electricity at the same exact time. It's like trying to find a airline flight during school vacation
right.
when you can't travel 2 days on either side of it.
You get
surge demand, or like just like Uber, you get surge demand in a
yeah.
short period window that... It's the supply and demand forces these rates to jump incredibly, right?
That's a great analogy. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that illustrates where we are. And then you're looking at it and say, okay, what happened if we get down to a micro analysis of an electric bill? There, we had an unfortunate weather in December, actually late November, December, carrying through even through January. And that is, we've had historical cold weather. So people go out and they put on a secondary heat source. What is the secondary heat source? It's the electric baseboard units.
Or whatever,
it's
yeah.
the plug-ins. Mm-hmm. So that all of a sudden rockets your electric bill. So there's several key points in electric bill I point out real quickly. When you get your electric bill, the best thing to do is go to page 2 and look at your kilowatt hour consumption. Look at that and say, okay, what happened? National Grid and all the utilities do something very favorable for us. And that is they give you last year's electric bill consumption to compare it to. So National Grid does something that's favorable for us, and that is they compare this month to last year, same month. And if everybody opens up their bill and their hymnals and reads along, you'll find that this past month, our usage went up over 20% because
oh,
of the weather.
Wow. That's a big jump.
Because of the weather. And we have not had sunny skies.
It was mild winter last year.
It was a fairly mild winter, right? So that's point one. Now, it's a double whammy. On top of that, to our earlier point, our rate went up in December. And currently it's at a second all-time high. So there's two parts of your electric bill. Front part is called delivery. That's regulated. You don't have a choice. You have to use your supplier or utility, which is National Grid here in Mass, or Eastern Mass, and then you have Eversource down south in Massachusetts. You don't have a choice in that. And that's, right now, that's still maintaining about 12 cents a kilowatt hour. Where we all got hit with the rate increases on the supply side, and that's deregulated. You do have a choice to buy your electricity from one of many suppliers, but that popped up with everyone over 3 or 4 cents. So that's
Unless
you're locked in.
Mm-hmm.
But even locking in, I think you said you locked in at 10, 11 cents, you could a year ago lock in at 8 to 9 cents.
Right, yep.
So the rate, the supply side has jumped up. And that's where we're getting hit.
Ah.
So we're now at 25, just under 25 cents a kilowatt hour. The all-time high was 27 cents during the energy crisis of a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Completely at the mercy. If you're running electricity, you are at the mercy of National Grid. You have no say.
Yeah, correct.
No say.
Correct. On the delivery side, you're right. So what can we do about it? We talk about renewable energy, solar. Solar can help us eliminate most of the bills. On average, we wipe out 75% of the cost for clients on an average. In your case, Joe, we wiped out your bill and then some. You have that excess that you carry through these tough months.
Yeah.
You're eating into your reserve right now.
That's right.
But all of a sudden, in 60 days, guess what's going to happen? Your reserve's going to pop back up because we get into March, April, May.
Longer days with sun.
Longer days, and also March, April, May are the months we use the least amount of electricity in a home.
Okay. March?
The reason for that, we have winter foes. We can't wait to get outside.
Right. Right.
Do some gardening, do some chopping, chase the kids, or in my case, my grandkids, to the baseball fields and hockey fields.
Mm-hmm.
So our usage drops significantly in the months of March, April, May.
Mm.
If you have solar, your production starts to rocket, skyrocket. So that's where you build up some significant credits. The best time to invest in solar is in March for your credits. Okay. The best time to invest in solar for financial, for your tax credits, of course, is on December 31st, but that's past us.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got another thing coming at us, and we'll talk about that, and that's the SREC terminations.
Right.
Do we want to jump into that now?
Well, quickly to explain what SREC is. SREC is a solar renewable energy credit. When people ask me, oh, you know, I say I'm getting my electricity for free.
Right.
They're like, well, you're paying for, how much did it cost you for your system? I says, well, it cost me $350 a month, but I get checks for my solar renewable energy credits above and beyond what is coming off of not paying for my electricity.
Okay.
The solar renewable energy credits for every, what is it, 1,000 or 100 kilowatt hours produced, I get a check for right around $300. So that for 10 years. So that is paying my solar loan. My solar loan is 10 years.
Correct.
And then all of the electricity, people getting hit for $600, $700, $450 for electricity, I get none of that.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of incentives we talked about. You got the federal tax credit, 30%. That will continue until the year 2020. The state of Massachusetts gives you a $1,000 state tax credit. That's just rolls every year. That's continual. Then we get into variable incentives, and the number one is the SREC, or Solar Renewable Energy Credit, as Joe mentions. Every 1,000, when we put solar on, we put a secondary meter on the house, and that records the production, sole production of the meter, and you get rewarded for the solar productivity of your solar system.
All right.
You get quarterly checks for 10 years.
So part of that, do you know how earlier, I know this can be confusing. We're going to try to simplify it as much. You know how Tim was talking about the state of Massachusetts has mandated basically that there be 20% of the energy produced to be renewable. These incentives are part of that way to get people to invest in these renewable energies. So now as people like me, like beating the drum so people can get these savings and actually make money, as more and more people are doing it, they're inching closer to getting to where they need to be. And time is of the essence. People that invested a year before me got bigger returns. Their SRECs were worth more money.
They were $500 if you got in 3 or 4 years earlier.
Right.
Early adopters.
So pretty soon, so now you said through 2020 the federal tax credit is going to go away. So
It's
going to step down.
Yeah.
So it makes all the sense to you have more incentive to get to,
if you can.
It's such a no-brainer. Like 5 years from now, people may have missed the boat completely.
Right.
Yeah. We got two things coming at us, because you're right. I mean, if you add up all in the electricity savings with the SRECs, with the tax credits, if you add all those up, your payback, if it's priced correctly and you got good productivity in your solar system, your payback will be less than 5 years. It'll be in the fifth year. All right?
Wow.
So if you take a 10-year loan out, whatever the terms are, you pay that off in 5 years, and you get free electricity. Not only that, you get your SREC income for year 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's a 10-year program. We've got two things coming at us. One is the SREC program is scheduled to be eliminated or changed, let's use the word changed, on no later than end of June.
This year.
Oh,
this
coming year. Right up, 6 months.
Yeah.
Or, well, less than that.
Less than that.
5 months.
Yeah, and if you think about it, solar from start to finish takes us about six, our commitment to our clients is 60 days for the installation. So you back that up and we're getting to the critical time.
Right.
So that's not a deal breaker, because what's happening is the SREC program is going to end. Anybody that buys now will be in. Anybody that's in is in. They're grandfathered in. What will happen is their state of Massachusetts is converting to what is called a SMART program. And it's called a feed-in tariff. And what that means is that that rate we talked about, people get compensated for 24 cents if you go and invest in solar. You're saving 24 cents. The state of Massachusetts came out with a rate for residential of about 15 cents. So the SMART incentive, Joe's point's well taken, if you look at your SREC income, that's about 27 cents a watt.
Oh.
All right, so you add the 27 onto your 24, and that's your total compensation. What SMART is going to do is take that 27 incentive for per watt for SREX and reduce it to 15. So quite simply, what does it mean if you buy and install after July?
It's just reducing.
It's reducing your incentives.
It would take longer to pay
but
off.
You're exactly correct. Your payoff, and if you do the math, your payoff today is 5 years.
Right.
The payoff with SMART is about 6.5 years, depending on the price.
Yeah.
All right.
Still and win-win.
It is still a win-win. Exactly, because what's facing us is the escalating cost of electricity. So if you're procrastinating, don't procrastinate, let's go now. But if you go after July, it's not a deal breaker.
Right.
It's still a great investment. Solar is the only investment that saves you money and pays you money. And it will continue to do that. The advantage of SMART, because people getting all hysterical about SMART, is you get your reward, although it's reduced, you get it immediately on your electric bill. With the SREX, you have to wait for a quarterly payout. Mm-hmm. But with SMART, the incentive will be allocated directly on your bill.
Which I think people like to see that.
Correct.
That people like to
That's
see
correct.
It.
That's
yeah.
correct.
In either case, I can tell you, when you get your bill and you have a credit,
it feels garbage.
And when you have 100% electric, your whole house, my oven, my baseboard, everything is run on electricity. And you hear people, I mean, when those bills came out last month.
Oh, I heard the screeching.
There was just, yeah. Facebook was just full of people. And I tell the people, I'm like, just call. That's all you got to do. The guy's local. You're not, it's not some guy from Tewksbury or wherever that you're never going to see again. This guy grew up in Gloucester.
Yeah.
Knows Gloucester people, has done a bunch of businesses. Everybody that you talk to says the same thing. I'm saving money. I'm making money. But you continue to, like, drag your feet on it. Like, I can't, like, the only thing that I could say that should hold anybody back is if they can't come to terms with the way they look. I personally love coming, pulling into my driveway, looking at them on my roof,
yeah.
knowing that, because the way Tim does it, he does a very, he makes it look
natural. I see how people might have that concern.
But some installers, they put like the ends, they put them really high and it doesn't, and they do these weird configurations and where they put the wire that comes down, they don't try to hide it because they just, once they get your money, Tim is local, is like knows these people, has to face them around town and cares. So, I mean, that's the difference.
Yeah, we want to add value to your home, yeah. not detract from it.
So,
and solar right. will add value to your
so
home.
So now last week there was a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
People were talking that this is something, I don't know what you're going to say now, but I read that Trump is doing, there's going to be a 30% tariff on solar panels.
On solar panels or components that manufactured in outside of North America.
Okay.
Yeah, and the real quick gist of this, it's two manufacturing companies of solar panels filed for bankruptcy a number of years ago. And they filed suit in international trade court that they were unable to compete because of the influx of foreign or Asian panels. They won the lawsuit. So they presented, the trial court presented options to the administration, Donald Trump, that he had to make a decision. He had to make a decision, but he had several options. So the decision he came out with on Monday evening was to place a 30% tariff on all foreign made components in panels that are going forward. It will cascade down. It's very complex, but just think about it. The cost of the panel is going to be 30% more if it's made in outside of North America.
Where are the LG panels made?
South Korea.
Okay. There. That's what's on my roof.
Yeah, you get, so if you save by going early. Now, what do? We protected our current clients, and my distributor bought a bunch of panels. Everybody was mobilizing for this because they knew.
It might have been coming.
They knew it. Yeah. A decision was coming. Now, being an independent contractor, and by the way, this is not anything to lose sleep over, all right? The panels are one of the major costs of a solar system, but there's a bunch of other components. So it's not 30% of the total cost of the solar is going up.
Right.
It's just the panels.
Yeah.
Okay, still a significant number. But what does that mean for us? That means we've got a solution because I'm an independent contractor. I'm not locked into just LG panels. My greatest trading partner or distributor is GAF, the world's largest roofing manufacturer.
GAF.
Yes.
Right, which if anybody that in construction or if you've had any work done in your house, the only one that I know of that people put is the GAF. That is the big player in roofing materials.
Correct.
Right.
That's correct. GAF, again, forward thinking, they've been working in the solar business for some years, manufacturing, R&D, and they've launched a product called DecoTech. And DecoTech is made in North America. It's assembled in Michigan.
Beautiful.
Michigan. It also has some Canadian-made panel components.
So North America.
So it's not part. There's only a small portion of that panel that's subject to a component within the panel that's subject to the trade, federal trade tariff. Thank you. So, long story short, the product that we're offering out as a solution to our clients is manufactured, number one, by a company that was, it's over 130 years old. It has a warranty for 50 years on defects.
Oh, my.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. This is huge. And we're going to talk more about the product at our next podcast. But it's a solution to this short-term tariff that's facing us. Mm-hmm. The tariff will cascade down over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 30% today, and then it will drop to 25 to 20, and then if the year five go away.
So
now, it could go away earlier, but that's his decision, and I'm not into politics. I don't understand it.
So the panel is GAF, basically.
Correct.
Is just as good as Joey's South Korean.
Oh, yeah.
It's just as good, but this is trying to take the sting out of the 30%.
Yeah, it was just a timing issue too.
Right.
They didn't go into, because they've been in the manufacturing and R&D this panel for some 5 years.
So been looking at those solutions.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
It just happened that the tariff makes it more of a solution for clients now. And we're able to do that. We did the very first DecoTech.
See, I like to look at their stock price.
Yeah.
I like to see what happened to their stock price on Monday. No, really. I mean, think about it. I mean, boom, you get a...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's a big swing for that company, right?
Yeah.
So we're excited about that product, and we're the only ones, by the way, in the state of Massachusetts can offer that to clients today. So
that's incredible.
So, again, being independent, being local, being backed by a national, global company. And
GAF, it will be around in 50 years.
Yeah, they're going to outlive probably two or three of us in this room.
Me, definitely me.
But that warranty is phenomenal. LG's warranty, great panel. Warranty for 25 years. Mm-hmm. The GAF products for defects is going to be 50 years.
So you have seven. So there's seven. To sum everything up, you have. There is, the you have panels that you produced that you purchased before this tariff was announced.
Yeah.
In stock.
Yeah.
You have the SREC program, SREC 2 program terminating no later than June 30th.
Correct.
Of this year.
Yeah.
And the tariff. So if people don't take advantage now, and with the, you know, the prices, the price of electricity isn't going down anytime soon.
Oh no!
That's the key.
The solutions that are out there are like more renewable energy, and they're doing that. But as they produce more renewable energy, the incentives are going to the further you go out, the less incentives there are going to be. There is no appetite for nuclear power. A nuclear plant would alleviate probably a lot of the strain on like that surge electricity.
Yeah.
But they're not gonna reopen these coal fired plants. The trend for everything goes in favor of installing solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
And the trend,
being
environmentally friendly to close coal-fired plants so that there's less locally produced electricity, so that National Grid has to go out on the open market when everybody at the same time is bidding for electricity.
Yeah.
So every winter, you're going to get that same sticker shock. And you, after a couple months, your bill will go down in the summer when you're not using electricity, and you may forget about it. But guess what? Next year, you're gonna have that that same monstrous bill for 3 or 4 months every single year.
Yeah, and the other thing to think about it is, if you look at historically the electric bill, if you average, it's like going up a step of stairs. You get the big step up in the winter months. It drops down, but it never drops down to the base floor. All right?
Right,
it drops down a little bit, then it jumps back up. So that cascades up. So we're at historical highs right now, and that's the challenge we have going forward. You're right.
We're at historical highs at the same time when oil is nowhere near where it was 4 or 5 years ago.
No, right.
Right.
Think about that. Imagine if oil was super high. That you'd have the price of electricity would be crazy high, because people right now that have options,
mm-hmm.
they'll run their oil.
Yeah.
Their oil based
right.
heat.
Yeah. Right.
That's right.
But they're not running right now oil's so cheap that there's less demand on it at the same time that we're having historic highs in electricity prices.
Yeah, and if you build a new home, that's a great question. You look at the cycle of these fuels. Do you do electricity? Well, electricity is at a historical high. Fuel oils right now is low, but that wasn't the case.
It was the inverse.
Yeah.
What we know in the future is everything is going to accelerate, and that's going to be our challenge going forward. So one thing we know about solar is you lock into a price. You bought the solar system. After you paid for it, you've got a free energy source.
Free.
Mm-hmm.
Free.
Well, I hear everything.
You're paying yourself
saying.
For electricity, basically.
I'm hearing everything we're saying, and I'll raise you on this. What I heard you say, basically, is these storms, they're unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you said it. It's something's happening that we're getting these massive storms, knocking things out or adding more because of the cold and everything. It's getting crazy. The Weather Channel is making all these names. We're up to, I think, in the M's already. I'm not really sure, and we're only here. And they called it the winter storm, whatever. So I would think about that, saying...
Yeah.
You know it's just not going to stop.
Yeah.
It's going to not get worse, but it's going to be hard. It's going to get harder.
Yeah.
So you need to
But
really
you have options. I mean, you know what I mean?
It's
just like what some people, they invest in a car that's a depreciating asset. You got an asset here that the payoff, worst case scenario, is 7 years. And this a lot of cars are 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then after seven... You get free. You're getting free for life. Yeah. And those panels that were installed over 30 years ago next to Beverly High School, there's a huge solar field.
Yeah.
Tim said operating at, what, 91%?
91 at the last reading I saw.
91% of what they produced over 30 years ago.
Yeah. And if you look at the warranty of your solar system that we install, or anyone installs, it's 0.7% degrade. So what does that mean? 25 years means it's going to operate at 85%, warranted at 85% of its original capacity. Because there's no moving pieces. Solar just works.
So,
you know, it's micro, molecules and electrons.
And there's nothing to fail.
Yeah, and if they fail, we're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Electrons.
It's a much bigger trouble than...
Tim, anything you want to add in closing?
No, I think we covered it fairly well. I think next week, next podcast, we should talk a little bit about the Decotech product. How's that going to help consumers against this short-term tariff hiccup that we have?
Perfect. Thanks for coming in, Tim.
My pleasure.
Tim Sanborn, Cazalt Solar and Home and Roofing. Is that what it is?
We do roofing and we do windows.
And I will put in the show notes a number that you can call directly and talk to Tim.
And I answer the phone live.
That's right.
Oh, there you go. That's a big plus. That's a huge plus.
I'll call you back.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're just talking. Isn't Tim great, though, as far as explaining?
He explained things very, very well. Things I didn't completely understand. It makes it easier to hear what he's saying.
I think the analogies that he puts out there are with the common fact that there's going to be unprecedented weather and stuff, it's really making you think. I mean, Joey, you're talking about your own personal thing, and I can see why you're saying that. Look, folks, I'm an example. It works. But the way he explains it is really a strong candidate for you really have to think through.
The thing to me that it's very it's very obvious that as more people get the incentive part from the state is all that stuff is as more and more people get on board, that the incentives are there to get this jump started. You know what I mean? To get people going and to do it and to reach those milestones, the 20% of renewable energy, and to make there be enough people to make the panel manufacturers to bring after the research and development, to bring the cost down per unit. Mm-hmm. So as the people discover how great it is, there's going to be less and less incentives because they don't have to do it, because people are going to be like, this is a no-brainer without the incentive.
Well,
right now, if you took the SREX out of it, by all measures, it's still a good deal.
Yeah.
Right now, it's an incredible deal. Then it would be a decent deal.
And then there's the bigger picture. There's what you're doing to...
For the environment.
For the environment. There's the bigger, that bigger picture, of course... People, comes down to needing the incentives to get people to jump on board because there's hesitancy for different reasons.
For different people, there are bigger things. For me, I like the environment. I like seeing things nice and clean, and I like it in there. But if it's between me driving a tiny Prius and driving a big car and being comfortable,
right,
I'm going to drive a bigger car.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But I understand how some other people, that's a big deal. So anyway, I don't want to bore people to death, but I've been doing this renewable energy series for like 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, when you could share common sense stuff, when it's a win for everybody, I like to share those things.
Right.
Yesterday, I had the pleasure of having lunch with my good friends.
We did. We had a great lunch at Zeke's.
Jimmy and Pat Dapp.
Yes.
Oh.
That's YouTubers.
We had a great lunch at Zeke's.
I had two lunches. I wasn't sure, Joey.
Sometimes you just need something to eat that's substantial, comfort food type of thing. Mm-hmm. I got grilled ham and cheese, and it hit the mark for what I needed yesterday, and it's a very pleasant atmosphere in there as well. I love the artwork on the walls.
They do a very good. They're upper echelon, lunch breakfast places in town.
Yeah, we haven't been there for breakfast.
Their breakfast, I think their breakfast is
is the highlight.
Is well, I think both are good. I think the breakfast is next level.
Yeah.
I think the breakfast is up there with the best that we have in town.
Yeah.
Great.
Would you agree? I mean, where have you? I mean, I would say that it's right.
We haven't
up
really
there.
Had breakfast there
Sugar
yet.
Sugar Mags,
so,
George's.
When we go to breakfast,
Lee's, we've been to
Lee's Morning Glory. We go to
Morning Glory.
You know, I have to get to. I have to get to Morning Glory. I haven't been there, and I can't remember when. But everybody, people have been talking about it, so I have to go.
It's just.
I think they're quick.
The atmosphere. It's open. It's light. It's not big, as most people probably already know. But it's got it for us sitting there. It's got that hometown.
You know
what
we have to
it.
Go? We have to go for lunch. We have to go to Sugar Mags for lunch. No one thinks to go to Sugar Mags for lunch, but I see. What's her name? Cullen. Jen Cullen. Does Jen Cullen? Are you following?
I don't.
She's a Facebook maven. She's a big social media.
Oh, yeah,
media
no,
fan.
No, I don't.
But
I
she is,
her
I think she's
I
cousins
think.
With Missy Sala.
Oh, okay.
And who owns Sugar Mags. And she posts pictures of their lunches. And every time she posts a picture, I'm like, oh my God, my jaw hits
the That's
call.
A good idea. I could get talked into that.
Well,
any trouble.
We went to Sugar Mags at the time, and I told
mm-hmm.
you that right
That's
now
sort
it's
of a brunch.
What they had for lunch.
It was a,
said,
you had breakfast that day. You put your. I made a picture of it. You put ketchup on your.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
How can we ensure? We went for lunch at Elks the other day. How can we?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do with you guys right now? Because I have the forms at my house for
mm-hmm.
the Elks membership.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I found them. They, I,
How
I
many
found
of
where
them
they are.
Did you find?
Well, I found at least one. And I'm wondering if we can lock down.
Time to go up there?
You know.
Yeah.
When are you guys coming back into town?
Super Bowl's, no, Saturday before Super Bowl.
Okay.
I think.
This is what I want you to do.
That's the plan right now.
I want you to break my balls until I submit it. You have full reign, Jimmy. Jimmy, I know this is not like you because you're not a ball breaker. But I'm giving you full reign to break my balls until I get this damn thing
sure.
submitted.
Well, I'm
yeah.
going to start by saying this. We just talked about this, the left, right, center. That's this Saturday.
Oh, that's right, the
that
bridge
you
event.
Told
yes.
me to keep reminding you of that because, and you had told us
well,
how
we
much fun
it is.
We
went home after lunch and got
I
our tickets.
I told you, the left, right, the bridge, left, right, center
sounded,
turn is a lot
like
of fun.
So much fun.
It is.
It's at the Elks, so
yeah.
all you have to do is the first thing you have to do is put that application with your check inside your wallet or someplace, and then when you open it up to go do some of the left, right, center, we'll just make you walk upstairs.
Yeah.
Or I'm sure there's going to be some Elk Brothers that will be down there, and they'll maybe be able to help you out with it. So your first thing is you could definitely do it by Saturday. Now, when you forget on Saturday and I see you, and Kate says to me, what are we talking about? I didn't know about this.
Well, don't put it with
then
your phone.
Then I'll be all over you, okay?
Don't put it with your phone. We don't want it to get wet.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to the left, right, center
oh.
tournament only because
because
I know it's been kind of crappy weather this week, and I know
oh,
I'm going to have a ton of boats
I,
on
well,
Saturday.
You said it was going to be fun, and I was already that the game is fun, and I was already kind of tempted by this event anyway. So after we talked about it at lunch, I went online. You can get your tickets or actually reserve a spot, I think is more accurately how they describe it. Reserve my tickets online for Saturday night. They're $20 a piece.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it is a benefit for a scholarship fund.
Ah.
I knew it was related to school, and I couldn't remember, but it's a specific scholarship fund
okay.
that it benefits. So it sounded like so much fun, so we're looking forward.
There's a lot
to
of
it.
Prizes. A lot of the bridge is kind of like an advertising thing, so I think they have a lot of the people that advertise with them donate prizes and stuff. And then I think, I'm not sure how they do the breakdown of the money, but it's not a full payout. Like all the that $20 that gets paid in isn't 100% dispersed. Because obviously there's the...
Right, it's a fundraiser.
It's a fundraiser. But it's still, even if there was no money, it's very exciting. It's a good, it's a fun game.
I'm looking forward
if no one's paid,
to
played,
experiencing it.
You know, I'll put a link to getting to left, right, center, the dice. on Amazon. They're like, it's short money, okay. But it's a great game to have in your house. What?
You bring
No.
Oh, okay.
But everybody should have a left, right, center in the house. For the, you know what? Like the holidays, did you guys have Pocino?
Yeah.
Did you play Pocino?
Yeah, we did.
No one plays Pocino anymore.
We did. Did you? You had Pocino when you were young?
In
the day? Do you know what we're talking about?
Yes.
But you didn't have it?
No.
Did you play it at the holidays with your family?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
That's so funny. We're going back at least 40 years for me.
Yeah, long.
I wonder if they still make Pocino. That was a great game.
I bet they do. There was a big resurgence, too, of, you know, well, it's on a cycle, of course, but there's always a big resurgence of vintage
games. I don't know. Maybe my mom thought it was too, you know, my sister listens to podcasts, so right now she's probably yelling into the thing. But maybe my mom thought
what she's yelling is, how does he not remember?
No, she's probably, you know... I don't think my mom would think it was an appropriate
family event.
Yeah, because I remember the time bringing in Jesus Christ Superstar, a great album, into the house, and I wanted to play it, and my mom, like, you know, you heard that needle across the thing. She took that record off, thought it was blasphemy.
What, she thought it was the devil?
Yeah, she didn't. Don't you be laughing at my mom, you. So you're asking me about Pocino game and this kind of stuff. I don't remember it, and I would obviously say that.
Well, it was a big part of, like, you know, like, so when we had holidays, there, you know, in our Italian families, we would first you have lunch, then you have mid-afternoon lunch, then you have dinner, and then the board games. Then, you know, usually the women would get up and maybe they'd do the, you know, whatever the latest line dance was. They would, you know, like they'd clear all the tables and everything.
But.
And they would line dance and the men would be watching football. And then after that, they would, or, you know, before the dancing, they would play, we would play Pocino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody.
With the little red chips.
Everybody, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. And it was always pennies. But back then it was pennies.
You're right. Right.
But left, right, center with dollars is great because it's still not a huge investment.
Right.
You know,
it sounds
what I mean?
Like a lot of fun.
You could bring a $20. I'm gonna tell you, like, if you don't get to the go to the bridge thing. If you can't get to the bridge thing and you have a group of friends, get the dice, and everybody bring $20 in ones,
mm-hmm.
and have a left, right, center tournament amongst yourselves.
It's a great
even $10. You know what I mean? Until and you just put. You start out with $3 and you play till, you know, each round till you're cooked. A lot of fun.
Well, I want to make it clear too that I'm a Elk member of an lodge that's in New York State. And one thing that you can do as an Elk is you may visit other Elk lodges. They welcome you in as an Elk member. And here in Gloucester, they've welcomed me into it. And yes, we do have some family who are members too, but they've been great. They've been very friendly. They're pointed out some things that we could do. They kind of know us, and they've been absolutely super. So when you're saying you gotta help me get into this club and everything else and push me to get this done, which means I'm gonna be talking to some other guys to also do it. So if they see you out in the road, they'll be saying it too. So this is what you're gonna get.
Well, I know. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are members.
They've
given me the applications. They say they'll sponsor me. It's just a matter of doing it.
Honestly, I'm carrying my own around in my wallet. I mean, I haven't turned mine in.
Why? Like, see, you were just there the other day.
You know what? There's a lot there.
Yes, it's a very special form.
Yeah. But that keeps
because
the riffraff out.
But it's a special club too,
yeah.
And you know they have some really good beliefs.
One of my problems is at home for the club at home, I'm carrying the membership thing around in my wallet, so that when I pay, they prefer to get the cash when you hand in the application, and I very rarely have cash in my wallet anymore.
Yeah.
Very rarely. So at times when I set aside that money and tuck it into the application, so the next time we go, I'm going to turn it in, all this, next thing you know, you need it for something else. And that's been my biggest hang up because, you know, I don't carry cash in my wallet anymore, basically.
Well, most people don't.
It's
very rare that anyone does
anymore. Right, exactly. So.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
We had a great visit to the archives.
Tell me about...
The post is going up tomorrow. We went down there to get some background information. And Sarah Dunlap, I think she's like a co-archivist or something down there. She was very generous with her time and took us around into some of the vaults that are downstairs in the basement of City Hall. They were fascinating. It was fascinating.
You keep teasing me like this. She's brutal.
Here's the thing, I couldn't have been happier. She opened up the archives has three vaults. She showed us, I think, four or five, but the first one she opened up, out whooshes that musty, dusty smell of cardboard that's been in storage, old books, old papers, and I felt like I was in heaven. I love that smell.
I know that, yeah. That's a great...
It's a room about the size of your desk, but...
I'm dying to see the pictures.
I don't usually post that many pictures, but for tomorrow's post, there's quite a few pictures on there. Because GMG Jimmy was my photographer yesterday.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think it is about this snowy owl that has captivated so many people's? This frenzy.
You asked me a similar question the other day. You said something like, what do you like about the snowy owl, or why do you want to get those pictures? And I bumbled around. I thought about it a lot afterwards, and I came to the conclusion that the real reason for me is that it's a bit of a challenge. It's kind of like meeting a challenge. And maybe it's that way for a lot of people. They don't get to see these snowy owls, partly perhaps because they don't typically look for them. They're easier to see now during this eruption period. People are sharing their locations and things like that. But it is, there's something about this sort of round, soft-looking animal.
The way it moves its head, like rotates
it,
independent of its body.
Still, most of the time, and its eyes...
It was in the same spot yesterday. I drove past it probably six or seven times yesterday.
We did too.
It was in the
same spot,
exact
on that ledge
spot.
Under a rock, overhang. Yeah.
It is cool to look at. I could get, you know what? Like, in a lot of people, let's face it, we get older, it's the wintertime, everybody's looking for something to do. You want to go for a ride? Oh, the snowy owl's on the back shore.
Right,
why don't we
go
try to see the snowy owl?
Right.
And anybody that has a camera, it kind of gives them a purpose, right?
Right.
Let's go check it. Let's go see what I can get for the thing and share it on my social media and everything else.
Yeah.
I get it. No, it's
well,
but
we
like
have,
everybody.
We have Animal Adventure by us in New York, and some people know that was April the Giraffe. That was on the TV and all the shows, and when is she going to be born? And I mean, it was the big thing. When she was finally born, and they opened it up and visitors going in, it was remarkable that we would walk around and you can hear the different languages, and when you would talk to some people, they literally would come to visit here. They would come to America to visit, but it was on their radar to come out to our little town to go to the Animal Adventure to see April the Giraffe.
To be part of a media event. I think that's also partly what's lending to the snowy owl thing.
Yes.
Is everybody's talking about it.
Everybody's
being part of...
Yeah. Well, now there's a little intrigue with the fights. Kim said today Kim is posting...
They're posting the pictures.
Oh, by the time this podcast airs, an hour before, because Kim will...
Yeah.
Well, 6 o'clock, Kim
six
will be posting photos of the fight.
Yeah,
between the male and the female,
mm-hmm.
that
so
are not couple.
So
are
they're juvenile, so far as we understand. So my next nature quest in this area is to find the eagles.
Do you want me to tell you where they are?
Yeah, please.
The bald eagles.
Yeah.
The bald eagles are on 10-pound island, and the closest towards the inner harbor. There's a huge tree. They're always perched in the biggest tree facing like Rocky Neck.
Okay. All right.
They're very visible because they're so big, and they always stay in like one of the highest branches of the tallest tree.
We are very lucky in New York. We do get we do get semi-regular opportunities to see eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing every time you see them. Every time, it takes your breath away. I don't think it's quite as common around here. At least it doesn't feel like it. So that's my next nature picture challenge quest.
You know, it's funny, Kim. I think I told Kim about it, and I'm surprised she hasn't been like trying to get that shot.
So their nest is on the island. That makes sense. That makes perfect.
I'm not. I guess it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just know that my lobsterman said a couple
of
days ago, one of my Mark Lodge told me, "Oh, geez, the bald eagle was, you know, was."
Well, this is the time of year, January, February, is the time of year that we would go looking for their nests in New York. So I'm quite sure, you know, the pattern would be the same here.
They're so cool.
They're
so cool.
Super cool.
Yeah. Oh boy. All right, guys. GloucesterCast 263. That was a great
one.
Thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks for the invite, Joey.
Yeah, and thanks for our guest, Tim Sanborn. I have the show notes will be the information to get a hold of him directly. Today
is Thursday.
Thursday the 25th.
And that's right.
We're about a week and a half away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah. 10 days or so.
Oh, there's something I wanted to mention in just briefly.
Yeah.
Did you see, which should be a surprise to no one, the map of the United States with which states are rooting for which team?
No, I did not see that.
I posted it this morning.
Oh, heavens.
Literally, it's New England and one state like...
Pennsylvania, perhaps?
No.
Oh,
like
okay.
A north in the middle of the country. I forget, one of those...
Probably North Dakota or something.
Something crazy where there's hardly any people or something like that. But, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say like 95% of the country is rooting for the Eagles.
I thought you were going to say
no, not rooting
around.
For the Pats.
Of course
and
it's not Pennsylvania. All right.
And I just want to say like at this point, I can totally understand why if you're not from around here, you would be so done with the Patriots
right.
winning
yeah.
and rooting yeah. against them. I could totally 100% understand that.
Yeah.
Just like the Yankees. What years were the Yankees dominant in the least, in the last, was it the late 90s? No. It was about 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was in 2000s. And they,
yeah, in the 2000s. The run that they had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And probably are going to go on. I could understand if the Patriots has just... You know, if you watch whatever team you root for all season long, completely invested in that team
and
the time
and
your friends to over and stuff like that, and time after time get your heart ripped out of your chest and devoured with blood dripping down the Patriots' chins, and having to listen to your friends who are Patriots fans. I try not to talk about it too much, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
like with people, because at this point it's almost like completely obnoxious, and that's not to take anything away from our team.
No, right,
God,
right.
God, the best
but
that ever was.
You can kind of understand where people might come from.
I can totally understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No doubt in my mind that if the Phillies, listen to me, baseball, but if the Eagles do upset the Patriots and win in the Super Bowl, I can't tell you how many states are going to invite them to come out so they can have a parade in their state for them, you know, if they have the Super Bowl thing. I guarantee it. I do not see people, from what you're telling me here, inviting the Patriots, hey, why don't you come on out to our state so we can celebrate with you? You know, maybe two people might show up, and somebody was thinking it was going to be a free cheese giveaway so they wouldn't even know it was a parade. But, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I get it. I don't blame. I mean, I don't blame if you root against the Patriots at this point.
Yeah.
I could get
yeah,
it. I get
I
that.
Yeah.
And how lucky are we? Anyway, GloucesterCast 263 is in the books.
Have
Jimmy
a great
and
day.
Pat, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Sure.